shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't and they won't, and that's where that is. And welcome to our program tonight. We are on, as I mentioned, till 1 a.m. on the West, 4 a.m. out East. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show, as well as listen to the show here on the air. With a backstage pass, you can actually hear the audio of the show, too. So I don't know. We always have people asking, well, where do I hear a live stream? Well, on our website, you not only get a live stream of the show, you get our ugly kissers, too. And you also have thousands of hours of archive material, thousands of hours of thousands and thousands of hours and thousands of hours. It just goes on forever at philhendryshow.com. Final score in tonight's game against, between, I should say, Kentucky and Kansas. Was it 67-59, Bud? I believe that was the final I had. I just pulled it off, fresh off the wire. But Kentucky beats Kansas to win the national championship in college basketball. And the final, of course, at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So lots and lots of blue represented there. And Kentucky entering that game with a record of 37-2, winning the national championship. And at least one friend of mine out watching the game tonight had a gathering at his house. Steve Bozell is joining us here tonight. How are you doing tonight, Steve? Did you have a good time?
You know, other than what happened.
Well, we're going to. I want to get into that, too. So you had how many guys came over?
Oh, yeah, we had, are we on here right now?
Yes, sir.
We had probably four or five. I had four or five other than Cliff. These are all my crew foremen. These are all the super, the foremen on all the jobs we have, you know.
You have a construction contracting job.
That's correct, yes.
So you have lots of different jobs going at one time.
When times are good, yes, we do. Things have been a little lean, but we're getting back up to it, so we're doing some commercial work and so forth.
So you had the guys over.
Yeah, we did, and I'm not a. I like to have my workers, my crew, and people I work with. I like to entertain. We'll have a barbecue now and again. We'll have people come over. I think it's good for work. I think it's good to have good relationship with your employees.
No, that's a great idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we had the game on tonight, and my wife made she made tacos. You know.
Uh huh.
And we had the wives come over. I don't drink per se alcohol, but I do want my crew to think I'm, you know, a regular guy. I don't want them to think I'm some one of these. I've seen so many of these guys that don't drink who work on construction crews, and I've got nothing against people who believe in God. And I don't have anything against Jesus Christ or the Christian faith, but. When my crew shows up in the morning to start work, generally they got a radio with them, and generally the young guys are listening to, you know.
Listening to rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. They've got the rock stations on, or they're listening to some, you know, one of the kids is listening to some hip-hop or whatever you want to call it. But when we get on site sometimes, there'll be another subcontractor there, maybe a painter, maybe an electrician. He's got a Jesus station on, you know, and that. I can tell puts my crew off, so I try.
So you know, that's funny because I remember when I worked in construction, I used to see that.
It's nothing that I would have. I want my crew to feel comfortable. So.
So, you don't drink, but you drink around them.
I don't drink at all, but when I do drink around them, I've never told my crew that I don't drink, so I pretend. I get some of this too. Near beer, 0.5 or 1%.
Uh huh.
And I drink that. But I don't want my crew to think I'm a goody two shoes, and that I'm one of these guys that plays all these Jesus radio. So I want them to think I'm drinking beer. So tonight I was drinking lots of this near beer, and I was pretending to be. To make a long story short, I was pretending to be drunk. And I guess I pretended too good or not good enough or something, because when Cliff's wife, Sandy, walked by me, my hand swung out and it hit her backside, the back of my hand.
All right, now this guy is one of your crew guys. His name's Cliff Pettigrew, and this was his wife.
This is his wife, Sandy, yeah. And she turned around and looked at me, and I, of course, I want everyone to think I'm drunk, so I just slurred, you know, I said something, I forget how. And Cliff comes over here and starts getting up in my face a little bit in my house. And I told him, you know, I tried to act as drunk as I could to show that I didn't mean to do that.
Well, let me ask you a question here. You're not drunk.
No.
So you did hit her backside with your hand.
I did, yeah, but I did, yes, sir.
And so you did that intentionally.
But that's not the... yeah, you could say that I did, yes, sir, but that's not the point of what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is he thought I was drunk. All of my crew members thought I was drunk.
Did your wife? You know,
well, my wife knows I don't drink, so she knew that I was just putting that on. And my children, too.
So, but you felt that the crew members thought you were drunk. So you hit her backside, and your employee gets angry.
Yeah, well, that's what I can't figure out. Because why would you get angry at a drunk man for doing something sloppy that he didn't mean to do? You see what I'm saying?
Well, this man, Mr. Pettigrew, who is an employee of yours and was a guest in your home, you hit his wife's rear end with your hand.
Yes, sir, I did. And I apologized to him, and you got to make it look good if you're pretending you're drunk. So I was saying, I forget how I did it, but I was all, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, that kind of thing. And he was upset with me because she was still rubbing her backside like I really hit her hard, and I guess maybe I did, I don't know. But he said, why don't you watch what you're doing? I said, and I kept saying to him, but I'm drunk.
But you were not drunk.
No, I was not drunk, but as far as he's concerned, I was. Why would he not? See, that's what I don't understand. And my wife, when I tried to talk to my wife about it tonight, and this is the part that gets emotional, after everyone left, I said, "Why? How could that be that he got angry at me if I'm drunk?" And she just looked at me and shook her head as if she was married, you know, to the biggest, I don't know, the look she gave me was like she was married to just this... the biggest turd, I guess, if you want to call it that, in the world. And she even laughed. And I told her, I said, that, you know, that hurts me when you laugh. And she said, but you have to understand what an ass you are. And I said, I can't feature that at all. And that's why, you know, I called up Bud, and I called some of the other people, and I called you.
Well, you're talking about Steve. You're saying we're talking to Stephen Bozell tonight, folks, about a party he had at his house where he doesn't drink, so he pretended he was drunk. You're pretending you're drunk, by the way, for your crew. Why can't you just tell them that you don't drink?
Because I told you, if you tell these guys work in construction. If I have them over to watch a basketball game and I'm not drinking, they're going to feel very uptight and very like they can't hang loose and watch the game. And they'll think I'm a Jesus freak, and, you know, and I'll start. You don't understand. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's much easier to just pretend like you're drunk so that they'll, you know, feel more comfortable around you.
Okay, so you're pretending you're drunk, and in the process of pretending that you're drunk, you hit this woman's rear end with your hand.
Yes, sir, I did.
And you don't know why... The husband, the guy that you know, Mr. Pettigrew, right?
Yeah, Cliff Pettigrew.
You don't know why he got angry at you because you were pretending you were drunk.
Yes, sir. Essentially, that's my point, because... You know,
well, I mean, he got angry at you because you hit his wife.
Yes, but I'm a drunk man.
Okay, let's forget for a moment that you're pretending you're drunk. Let's just say you are drunk. Mr. Pettigrew believes you're drunk.
Well, he does. He did believe... He does believe that I'm drunk, okay? That's not even an issue. If you look at a drunk and he hits your wife on the backside, you're going to go, yeah, well, guy's drunk. Drunks do that.
No, that's not what you're going to do. No, have you ever drank alcohol in your life?
No, sir.
You've never been around people that drink?
I've been around it.
Well, and you've never seen drunks act in an inappropriate way with women?
Yeah, but you always say, oh, that guy's drunk. I mean, I had a guy, look, you know, a guy one time when I was first date in April, and we were over here at the Calabasas Saloon, and, this guy walked up to April and squeezed. You know, he was, this guy was really drunk, really hammered, and they told me he was really hammered. He walked up and from behind her and just squeezed, put his hands around in front of her and squeezed. And
you're kidding. I mean, that is a fight. That's a fist fight right there. You know?
No. Mr. Henry, understand something. This guy was really hammered.
It doesn't make any difference if he's hammered. I mean, in my opinion, it doesn't. I mean, a guy should be able to hold his liquor.
So you're saying even a drunk is going to get beat up? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, a drunk's going to get beat up most of the time because he doesn't know how to control his intake of alcohol. And so he's sort of viewed as a guy that should have known better. You know?
Yeah, exactly. He should have known better, but he's drunk. See, the problem I'm having is Pettigrew got up in my face, and I don't know whether I need to fire this man or not.
And you're going to fire this guy? Why would you fire him?
Because he got into my face even though I was drunk. I know I'm pretending, but you got to just look at it as if I was drunk.
You're going to fire this guy after he got angry at you for slapping his wife's ass, excuse my language, and...
Yes, sir, because he should have known that a drunkard... And I apologized over and over and over again.
And he should have known that a drunkard is just going to do that. That's the way it is with drunks.
I believe so, yes, sir. You're telling me now it isn't. And I've got a decision to make.
And well, can you hold on for a minute here? Because we're past our break time.
I've got a decision to make, though. And
can you hold on? Because we're past our break time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Stephen Bozell on the line with me. From Corona, California. Whatever happened at his house tonight? Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. He was pretending he was drunk. He slapped this guy's wife on the ass. The guy got angry. The guy's an employee of Steve's. Steve didn't think the guy should have gotten angry. He should have said, oh, well, the guy's drunk. So Steve's thinking of firing this guy. Now, on top of everything else, he wasn't really drunk. He was pretending it. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Making it sound like I'm retarded or something. I'm not.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this Monday night as we discuss the aftermath of the NC2A championship game. This evening, Kentucky defeats Kansas 67-67. Steve, you saw the game, right?
Yes, sir.
What was the score?
That was I think Kentucky won the game, and right now we're checking on the score.
Okay. Well, it's 67-59, bud. Thank you. 67-59.
Yeah, we got the. Hold on, I'll check on it for you. Give up.
No, we got it right. We got it, Steve.
You have it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because part of the night was so emotional that it was difficult for me to focus, but I did want to enjoy the game, and I've pretty much had to made up my mind that as much as I probably, you know, maybe was out of line or whatever, I can't have that man talking to me like that in front of the other employees.
Well, you hit this guy's wife's rear end. That's the problem that we've got here with your hand. You
turn the TV down. Turn it down, will you? Let me tell you, I'm in a world of hurt because I don't want to fire this man. He's a good man.
Do you want my opinion?
Yeah, I want your opinion.
You should not only should you not fire him, you should come clean and say that was entirely my fault. I slapped your wife's ass on purpose because I wasn't drunk. I was actually sober. I'd been drinking near beer, but I just wanted you guys to think that I drank, so you guys will think I'm a regular guy.
And every man, I guarantee you, will quit. They will look upon me as mentally unstable. I mean, there's no way.
All right. I mean, okay. Let's talk about this. I know you're not mentally unstable, but you went through a big rigmarole here just to prove to your guys that you are a regular guy.
Yes, sir, because I want them to be comfortable, to be able to come to my home and feel comfortable.
And yet you slapped one of their wives on the ass.
I did that, and I was pretending to be drunk when I did it. See, it was a decision to make, and I made it, and I've got my reasons for making it. But I don't understand why this man. You've told me now, Mr. Henry, that when an individual is drunk, that he is still held accountable, and I don't understand that at all. And,
well, look, Steve, you've told me that you've never drank before in your life.
No, I do not.
And you spent a lot of time in bar rooms?
No, sir.
Okay, so even though you don't drink booze, you haven't spent a lot of time with friends there. I know there's people that don't drink that sometimes will go with friends and drink a Coke.
No, I don't. There's no point in that. I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I go fishing. I go to sporting events. I've spent time since I've been married. I spent it with my family. When I was single, I did other things. You know, there's more. You know, I don't drink because there's alcoholism in my family. Or at least on my mother's side, and so I've been drinking near beer. But I recognize that it's good to pretend that you know how to drink, so that your employees will think that you are a man and you're not a.
So, is this some test of manhood?
Yeah, I mean I.
Well, booze is not a test of manhood.
I'm just telling you, you know, I got a crew of guys that are construction workers, and they're...
Look, I used to work in construction. I mean, you know, there's, you know...
Well, did you drink?
I drank, but it never crossed my mind that someone that didn't drink wasn't much of a man. As a matter of fact, I used to think anybody that didn't drink probably had better control or willpower than me, you know?
Well, I don't want my crew to think of me as something less than 100%, you know, able to take it and dish it out and be right in there. So that's why I, you know, pretended like I was drinking.
And you were pretending you were drinking with this near beer, right?
Yes, sir.
What kind?
It's called O'Doul's.
And you were drinking the O'Doul's all night?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay, you know that the people that you had there as guests are going to look at that can of O'Doul's, and they're going to know that it's near beer.
Well, I don't see how that.
They're going to look at the can of O'Doul's and they're going to know.
Only if they know that it is.
Well, it's a pretty well-known brand of low alcohol beer.
Well, that's what I was drinking, and I was getting, and they thought I was drunk because I was slapping everybody on the back and acting drunk and being all, you know, doing, making those noises.
And then you slapped this guy's wife on the ass.
Yes, sir, I did.
And that's when he got upset. I think the guy realized that you were probably putting it on or something.
No, he didn't. No way. There's no way. There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell. Because I said, man, I'm pretty drunk. And he goes, well, even if you are drunk, you know, so there's no way in hell. And for him to turn around and get up in my face, I was drunk as far as he was concerned, and yet he is up in my face about an accidental slap on his wife's ass.
But it wasn't an accident.
No, it wasn't. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what he saw, what I did, what I wanted him to see, and what I did. And what I wanted him to see was that I was drunk and that I accidentally slapped his wife's ass.
And what he saw was an intentional slap on his wife's ass by a guy that may or may not be drunk.
No, he knew I was drunk. That's what he thought.
Well, then he still thought it was an intentional slap on his wife's ass.
Why?
Because of the fact that he got angry at you. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. I planned this out for a long time.
Well, I got to tell you something, Steve. You got to be one of the dumbest guys. Well,
excuse me, Mr. Henry, but I haven't called you any names or anything.
No, I know, but you can't keep thinking that somebody figures that you're drunk when everything you're telling me, man, it doesn't sound all that great. You're telling me you're drinking O'Doul's beer. That's a well-known low-alcohol beer. You're saying you're acting drunk. Well, okay. I mean, I don't know what that's supposed to be. You say you're going, ooh, making noises.
Yeah, and the guys are all saying, hey, you know, Mr. Moselle, you're drunk, yeah?
And then you slapped this woman's ass. You still haven't told me why you did that.
That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about, and I don't want to talk about it.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. We're going to be back here. Maybe get Dr. Sadler on the line or somebody. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Can you talk to him? Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell with us in Corona, and we're talking about the group of people that you had over to your house tonight. People all over the country watching the championship game, Steve. But you've got a situation where you feel you need to fire a man because he was insolent to you tonight after you slapped his wife on the ass, pretending you were drunk to impress these guys.
Hold on for a minute. What do you do? Well, don't talk like that, sir. My son is walking around here talking. Is that for me? Oh, boy. We got a situation here now. My own son thinks he can walk around here. My goodness. Is that for me?
No.
My own son's making fun of me by pretending he's a little bit of a hairdresser. And
all right, well, let's go to a room or something where you're not going to be bothered.
I'm going to close the door and turn the TV down. Yeah, the whole purpose of the night, and this is why things went a little haywire, Phil, was to bond with my workers.
We got Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Dr. Jim Sadler on the line. He's a psychologist.
I don't feel I need that.
Like you said, the whole purpose of the night was to bond with your workers, and what wound up happening was this. You drank alcohol to pretend, or you drank, which you wanted them to think you were getting drunk, even though you were drinking near beer.
Yeah, I was doing it for them. I wasn't trying to con anybody. I want them to think that I'm man enough to drink with them.
Let's get Dr. Sadler on here, and sorry to interrupt your evening. Jim Sadler with us in San Diego. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm all right, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. I've got a caller on the line here, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. How old are you, Steve?
I'm 39.
All right.
And this is a man who was having a party tonight at his house, a basketball party, and he wanted to pretend that he was getting drunk with his workers, so he was drinking this near beer. And while pretending that he was drunk, he slapped one of the guy's wives on the ass. This guy got angry at him, and now he feels he needs to fire that man because that man should have understood he was drunk, even though he wasn't.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Hi, Steve. I'm Dr. Jim Sadler. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine.
All right, I'm in a nightclub right now. If you can hear me, Phil, but my wife and I go dancing.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
All right. Steve, my name's Dr. Jim Sadler. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'd hate to take you away from your evening.
No. Everything's fine. Okay. I'll get it. Give me a CC7, okay? And tell him to put some booze in it this time. Steve?
I'm here.
Steve, why did you feel it was necessary for you to pretend you were drunk? Let's talk about that for a moment.
I pretended I'm drunk because I wanted my workers to think that I was man enough to drink with them.
Are you not man enough? Do you feel like you're not man enough?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
I say that again?
In a lot of ways, yeah. I don't feel I'm man enough.
You don't feel you're man enough to drink with them? Thanks, man. You don't feel you're man enough to drink with them?
Yeah, no.
All right. And now, you pretended you were drunk. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Tell them to put that up again. And
is this bothering you, Dr. Sadler?
Is what?
Just us talking to you.
Oh, I'm fine. They haven't really heated it up here tonight. Well, I take Amber dancing.
Your wife's name is Amber?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't even know the half of it. So, tonight when you were pretending you were drunk, you swung your hand and you hit this woman's ass on purpose.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with how I want to be and how I want to see how all this comes. That's got nothing to do with how it's got nothing to do with how I want you to.
You don't want to talk about it.
What?
You don't want to talk about them?
God, I can't understand.
You don't want to talk about it?
No, I don't. I'm not that far, no.
All right. Here's the thing. I'm out right now. I'm having dancing with my wife, and she's a lot younger than me. You know, we're about 25-year difference.
What did you say?
It's about a 25-year difference.
You know, I can't believe you've got a wife that's 25 years younger than you, and you're at a dance club. And
why is that hard to believe, Steve? Let's go with that. Go with that. Tell me why it's hard to believe.
Because you sound like you have a mouth.
You're noticing my speech pattern then?
Your speech pattern, yeah.
No, not my speech pattern. My speech pattern.
Speech pattern.
You know,
your speech impediment, Dr. Sadler.
Oh, yeah, I do. I notice you got a bad. You can tell it sounds bad, real bad. It sounds like somebody is cut your tongue off or something.
I did. I lost part of my tongue in a violent type of bath. But that doesn't mean that I can't help you. I've been a psychologist for years. Yeah. Hold on for a minute. My wife's out on the floor right now. Look at that. Look at that. Hey, you. Hey, who are you? That's my wife. Huh? So,
guys, you got a young wife and everything, and you're out on a dance. She's dancing on a dance floor, huh?
Yeah, she's got on one of these real tight cocktail dresses, you know? And it's pretty high above her knees.
I don't believe it. I mean, how did you score something like that? You sound like somebody... I mean, you sound like someone took some pruning shears to just put pruning shears to your mouth. Just went in there and started going to work on your mouth.
Pretty much when you try a French kiss a lion, that's pretty much what's going to happen. But I learned from my mistakes, and then I thought my psychology practice is burbling.
Your psychology practice is burbling.
It's. But what did you say, Dr. Sadler? There's, for some reason, we can't hear you.
I'm in a nightclub. God almighty. You can't hear me because I'm in a nightclub, I told you.
Yeah, and I said to you, are we bothering you?
No, you're not bothering me.
It is hard to hear you, Dr. Sadler.
All right, hold on a minute. Is this DJ Sully Fell? I don't want to listen to that N-word.
Wow!
So it's okay. They like me here. So it's very difficult, Steve, when you want to be a man... And you're not miserable enough to be a man, see? And
there you are in a nightclub, and you sound like about 500 shades of gay.
And what? Say that again, very slowly.
I said you sound like 500 different shades of gay in that nightclub. And I can't believe you're with a piece of tail.
Can my wife a piece of tail? Have a little bit of respect.
Why is it your speech impediments just got worse, man, when you went in there?
Because it's difficult for me to speak properly if I can't hear myself.
Yeah, but you should try to go to your office.
What'd you say?
Then you ought to try to go to your office and have a psychology session there.
That's where I do have my psychology session, but I'm talking to you right now. Yeah. Hold on for a minute, Steve. My wife. What's up, babe? Hey, here's $20. Go buy yourself a hat. Get lost for a few minutes. I'm on the phone. Now,
you told your wife to get lost? I mean, this is exactly why we're talking to Steve here. You know, his wife, by the way, was laughing at him, calling him some kind of a turd because he got, you know, he was faking being drunk.
Well, I want to get to the whole idea of why you're about to slap a little bit on the butt.
I didn't understand a damn thing you're saying. It's frustrating to me.
I'll interpret. He's wondering why it is you slapped that woman on the butt.
You got to understand that I married my wife.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, hold on. Phil, just hold on. Come here. I want to dance. This is my tune. I want to dance. Woo! Woo! Get me.
Hold on for a minute.
All right. Now, ready. Put my tongue back in my mouth. Hey. That's my birth. That's a song that was made popular the night that Amber and I consummated on the laser tip.
I can't believe this guy is out with a piece of tail. I'm sitting here worried about me.
It is. It does put things in perspective, doesn't it?
You guys talking without me? You're talking over my head?
I'm talking to Steve. He says he can't believe that you are out there having the fun you're having, and he's at home worrying about the stuff he's worried about.
Oh, that's what I mean. So you think I'm some kind of a sissy? You think I'm some sort of a fairy? You think I'm a freeway to fairyland, don't you?
I didn't say that at all.
You think I'm a living rocket sled to fairyland?
What?
What'd you say?
I said he thinks I'm a rocket sled to fairyland.
Let me look this up. Hold on. I've got a book here. It translates speech impediment. A rocket sled to fairyland. Is that what you said?
That's us.
All right.
Will you guys get out of here with this? Go back to your dancing, and I'll talk to Steve myself, okay?
No, I'm Miss Henry.
Go back to your dancing. I'll talk to him myself. Goodbye. 877-876-PHIL. Would you get rid of that guy? God. Steve, you there?
I'm barely here.
What happened to you?
My self-esteem's been destroyed.
Well, Dr. Sadler is a very unusual psychologist. No question about it, okay? We've had him on the show before. He's a weightlifter. Apparently, he's ripped. He's probably got a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, that guy sounds...
Is that... Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What happened to your voice?
I told you my self-esteem.
Your self-esteem? All I'm telling you is that's a very unusual man whose words you should not take all that seriously.
Then why did you call him?
I'm sorry?
Why did you call him?
We called him up because he's a psychologist that's on the show a lot. Let's take a break. I think you need some water or something, okay? Steve?
Okay.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Stephen Bozell, who's had a hell of a night, man. This guy's gone from pretending he was drunk to slapping a guy's wife's ass to having to almost fire the guy to talking to Dr. Sadler, who's out there, he's lighting up the night with his 22-year-old wife. And the guy's got a speech impediment that makes it sound like he's missing his entire tongue. And you know that ain't good. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, wrap it up, Edward.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Phil Henry Show.
You didn't, did you?
Sure did.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell with us. We did have Dr. Jim Sadler, and I think you really need to understand that Dr. Sadler is a guy who is an unusual doctor in that you're right, he does have a very pronounced speech impediment, and people notice it. And it's difficult to talk to him.
Well, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that he's out with a...
And his wife's younger than him and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, there's no accounting for taste. I don't think it necessarily is a comment on you. The bigger thing to talk about with you, Steve, is the fact that you were somehow putting on an act tonight that was not bought hook, line, and sinker by a worker, and now you want to fire the guy because he didn't respect you. I think you need to have a little bit more... respect for him. Let's get Father James McQuarters on here. Father McQuarters is a Catholic priest. I know you're not Catholic, Steve, and I understand that, but we take as many different points of view as we possibly can on this show and see what we can do with them. But Father McQuarters, how are you tonight?
Phil, I'm doing fine. I want to say good evening to you, Stephen. I've been listening to your problem this evening. I hope that I can help you.
Thank you, sir. I'm not. I was raised a Southern Baptist.
Well, I'm aware of that.
But I thank you very much.
Well, you know, Steve, I can tell you that there are times in our lives when we've lived a life and we've given off to our wives, we've given to our children, and we've even given to our community and to our work, and you don't feel as if there's nothing left, and you'd like to have a little something left for yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
And I think, baby, tonight was one of those nights when you saw a pretty girl walk by, and you say you've got two children, right?
Yes, Father, I do.
And I know that your wife, she gave birth to these two children. Is that correct?
Yeah, my wife April gave birth to Stephen Jr. and April Jr. April Jr. come first, Stephen Jr. I'm sorry. April Jr. come first, and Stephen Jr. came second.
Hey, well, take it easy now. I know that your self-esteem was hampering you a bit there, but you're doing better, okay? You just listen to me, all right?
Okay, brother, thank you.
Stephen, remember something. That when a woman gives birth to children, many times her body suffers at the expense of that of nature. What nature demands of a woman's body, sometimes it can never bring back.
That's the way I felt when I seen April, when I first met her, you know.
She looked good, didn't she?
Yeah.
Buy your coffee, all right?
You okay, Steve?
I took a slam. I slammed back another O'Doul's.
Oh, you're really setting fire to the night, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Slam back another O'Doul's, huh?
See, that's what I mean. You guys are in defense of me.
I'm making fun of you now. So your wife's body, it didn't quite come back after she had the babies. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And now she walks around the house with a big rear end.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so tonight, come into your home, the wife of this friend of yours, this young lady, with a nice, round, tight rear end, and all you could think about was how your wife's ass got out of hand.
Yeah, my wife's ass has gotten completely out of... My wife's ass is way out of line. No question.
And so what did you do? You had yourself an O'Doul's. You took a look at that nice rear end. You went ahead and you backhanded a little bit, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
It's okay. You can admit it.
Yes, Father, I did.
And then you gave it a squeeze, too, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, you know something? It's nothing unusual to do something like that. Hold on for a minute. Man of the quarter. What? Now, you tell that piece of crap that if he's not downstairs with that money in a half an hour...
Father.
Hold on, sir. What? Eddie, you tell that piece of garbage if he's not downstairs with that money in a half an hour, I'm going to come find him. And he's going to wish he showed up with that money. Because what I'm going to take out of him is going to be a lot more than money. I'm going to get some payback, okay? And there's a full moon tonight. Hold on. Just listen to me. There's a full moon tonight, and I'm feeling pretty frisky. And he's looking pretty good to me. Now, either I get 50 bucks from him, or I'm going to be calling him Mary. You tell him that for me. You tell him that for me. All right, Steve?
Wait a second, man. What was that about?
That scared the hell out of me when I just heard.
What are you talking about?
What was that I just heard on the phone?
What?
You tell him to be downstairs with the 50 bucks.
No, that's nothing. No, hold on for a minute. No, I'm just talking. Look, we had... I love you guys. No, we had a card game. No, that's nothing at all. Nothing to be... I would never say anything like that to you, Steve.
That scared me pretty bad.
Oh, buck up. Butch up, will you? Butch up. I'm telling you, you had every right in the world to slap the girl's ass. You see a pretty girl, you want to slap her ass.
That's a hell of a piece of advice to give him, Father. And what I heard on that phone conversation sounded very scary.
Conversation.
Oh, you're talking about, I'll take it, I want my 50 bucks one way or another. I'm going to be calling him Mary. There's a full moon out tonight.
I heard that too.
No. Don't worry about it. Just put it out of your mind, okay? I'd really appreciate it, in fact, if you really would put it out of your mind. See, that's the point. Who's that?
That's Mr. Bozell.
What's wrong with you, Steve? With my self-esteem. Your self-esteem? My nerves. your nerves. You're nothing but a GD coward.
All right. Thanks a lot, Father.
See, the thing that I was...
Steve, you got a psychological problem that obviously Father McQuarters wasn't able to help with, and neither was Dr. Sadler. Now, on the one hand, you got Dr. Sadler, who is probably snorting coke right about now, dancing with his young girlfriend and doesn't care a thing about you. On the other, you have Father McQuarters, who does care about you, but he has a criminal mind. He has the mind of a sexual assaulter, as well as a thief. So that's not going to help.
I know.
And now your self-esteem is so rotten that your voice is squeaking.
Yeah, that's what I get for talking to you.
Hold on, and we'll give you the suicide hotline, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for,
David. 877-876
suicide hotline.
Sorry, I mean it's the only thing I can think of now. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, is this the suicide hotline?
No, it's not.
Oh.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, my name is Steve Bozell. Yeah, anyway, years ago when I was...